This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit GoldenOakLending.com today.
Golden Oak.
NMLS 114937.
Pirates in St. Louis for game two of a series. The struggles have been real pretty much all season, but it seems like especially of late. Let's go out to the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline where we find former Bucco Michael McHenry. You know him from his analysis of the games these days, and there's absolutely nobody better. So let me ask you, Michael, with Skeens, he's obviously been really, really good. But maybe just a notch below his best. I think we'd all agree on that there's better there with him because of who he is. If you and him were going over a game plan for today, would you maybe limit the repertoire a little bit, or what would be your plan for Skeens?
I don't know about limiting the repertoire in the game plan. Now, once the game starts, absolutely. He's a guy that can dominate with one pitch, and that's the fastball. That's the hard stuff. The one thing I'd love to see more of is the changeup. We saw that be an equalizer late July into August. He hadn't thrown it really all season, about 3%, and then all of a sudden he jumps out and throws it about 18%. I do think that's a pitch that constantly dives down for him. He's a guy that really pitches horizontal. I know he said that he doesn't think about where his arm has fallen. It's dropped a little bit. I think it's made his ball a little bit more horizontal. What I mean by that is he's really good at the top of the zone with his fastball. He's really good at the bottom of the zone with this splinker. His off-speed pitch, other than that, kind of run out of the zone a lot. It's very hard to get that slider, curveball, and sweeper in the zone. It's got so much movement. It's coming from a weird angle. So that changeup's the equalizer to get down in the zone. So I'd love to see him throw that more today. I think we're going to see a lot of spin today as well because it's a pitch that's worked well in the past against Cardinals. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he comes back. He was really erratic last start. Very unorthodox for me. He couldn't find it, and he still almost got out of it, which is crazy to me.
Right. Yeah, even his bad starts are good starts for a lot of people.
Yeah, so I think that's the crazy part right now is he just hasn't had it all yet. Even that 9-strikeout game in L.A., I think he was good that day. But I haven't seen the greatness that we saw, you know, against the Cubs last year in Wrigley, what we saw in Milwaukee. And here's a funny thing for you. He's got a 4.19 ERA at home and a 0.96 ERA on the road this year. The same discrepancy last year, not as big, but it's the same discrepancy. I mean, the way he's pitched at St. Louis compared to how he's faced St. Louis at home is completely Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. So it's going to be weird to see how he pitches today. If he pitches really well, you got to start thinking like, hey, he's had enough starts on the road and at home to say like, what's going on here?
I'm wondering too, if part of him in the pursuit of staying in games longer is trying to focus more on contact outs than striking people out. Do you sense that?
Yeah, I think so. In the offseason, he said he wanted to make the hitter have more swing decisions. And ultimately, he wanted to give guys an opportunity to get the bat off the shoulder and go. And if you look at how often they're swinging the bat against Skeens, they do not want to get two strikes. One element of his game that's really fallen is the swing and miss. And I think it's because the way guys are attacking him. So we may see him pitch a little bit different. We may see him go more to that swing and miss stuff early on and then, you know, shut the door later. Almost a backwards approach, throwing soft early, hard late, because these guys are just coming out swinging. I mean, I think the last game, a normal average is about 65% swing in zone. It was almost 73, if I'm not mistaken. So these guys are ready to hit. So he's got to find a way to combat that. Without the splinker playing the last two games, it's been really tough. So hopefully he can get that going early. But yeah, I think the approach has completely changed against him. They're attacking him early because they don't want to get two strikes. And him at the same time trying to create that soft contact, it has gone against him at times.
What do you think it is about St. Louis, Michael? Because Skeens is 0-3 all time against the Cardinals and ERA of 270. But he hasn't really been able to find the right moments to be able to put the Cardinals hitters away.
I think it's situational awareness with them. One, they're like cockroaches. They just don't go away. They don't walk a lot. They don't strike out a lot, which is kind of against, you know, Skeens a little bit. But they have veteran guys in the middle of that lineup that take really good at-bats, even when they're not good. And then you look at Donovan and Burleson at the top of the order, lefties that, you know, honestly have always been pirate killers. You know, Burleson hit the homer last night on the changeup, elevated, and Donovan had that double down the line. But these guys are just professional hitters. They're willing to take the ball the other way. They hit the ball that's elevated just about every single time. You just don't play many teams that are good at finding the barrel and creating long at-bats consistently. Them and the Cubs are two of the best at it right now, and they're both in our division.
Michael McHenry on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. There was a play last night, Michael. I thought the Pirates got a break, honestly. It was an unbelievable throw from O'Neill Cruz to Joey Bart. Just a great throw, but I thought the guy got under the tag. My question is, these days, if you're playing catcher in those bang-bang plays at the plate, how do you know how to play them with all the plate-blocking rules? Like, I'm not saying Bart made a bad play, but I thought the guy was safe. What's the play there as a catcher? And generally, with plays at the plate, what's your mindset as a catcher to make sure you're legal and making the tag?
So I'm with you. I thought he was safe as well. But man, what a throw. Oh. What a throw. We've been waiting for that, haven't we?
Yeah.
100 miles an hour from Cruz. I love the way he set up. He got behind the ball. But the biggest thing for me is he didn't hurry. I think he finally realized he has an absolute hand cannon. I mean, that thing is just a joke. So he gives perfect throw, perfect bounce to Bart. The one thing I think Bart and some guys get in trouble is he landed on top of the plate. Both knees went down on top of the plate. So that allowed that guy to slide in. I'm never worried about blocking the plate because the rule stands is the ball can take you into the runner. So I'm looking at the ball. He should have stepped into it, taken a little bit deeper, and then he would have been out in front of the plate. Now, there would have been people chirping even more that he was blocking the plate, but he would have been out in front. The guy would have been out by, you know, at least another foot or two because he's out in front and you can tag harder. So the ball takes you into the runner. You make that tag. Ball's going to travel faster. You catch it deep and you smash that guy because you never want to put it in the umpire's hands. I know that from personal experience from that 19 inning game. I did a swipe tag because I was always told don't kill guys if you don't have to because you'll get it back. Nowadays, you're not going to get it back, right? They're not going to come hit you if you hit them. So, you know, you want to put that tag down hard, leave absolutely nothing in the umpire's hands because they have that gray area to decide. That's one play they do not want to call. They do not want to overturn that he was blocking the plate when the ball has beat them there.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. it feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
How many times or how often do you think of Jerry Meals? Because I have to tell you, from time to time, I think of that game. You know, Twitter was just sort of getting really popular then, and I remember Twitter exploded that night. And obviously, you tagged the guy. You would swear on your life that you tagged him, right?
100. Yeah, I think about him every time there's a play at the plate, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to make an excuse, but there's turning points in the season. And in 2011, we didn't have the depth. We had a lot of young guys that were exciting, like Jay Hay, Alex Presley. They came up, and we played really well right to start. And we got into first place. And we were in first place for about a month. And I promise you that game did something to our clubhouse. I don't know if it was just the overall stress of an emotion that went through all that. But we fell off the table after. I think it was one of the worst 3 weeks in baseball history. And I blame a lot of it on that game because it was a huge momentum shifter for us. You know, we're playing the Braves, we're beating the Braves, we lose the Braves, and then we go to Philadelphia, and they're the best team in the National League, and we just get waxed. And I feel like that game kind of started a downtrend for us. So when they say momentum's not real, or they say that emotion in this game's not real, I always think about that play and us being up till 3:30 in the morning protesting the game, and how big of a hurt that took on our bullpen that didn't have the depth, because Daniel McCutchen threw 5 1/3.
Yeah.
No, excuse me, 5 2/3. And that was on his fourth day. You'd never hear about that now. Guys probably wouldn't even put themselves out there like he did because it's a different game. So that momentum shift that year really hurt us because we were a true team. We had one heartbeat, as Clint Earl always said, because we were fighting for each other. And that's the only way we were winning.
How many times did you interact with Jerry Meals after that during your career and maybe in your post-baseball career?
All right, you ready to get in the conspiracy theory? Because this is wild.
Yes.
So I caught over 300 more games, like actually started games, not games that just played. I caught and started, I would say three, let's just rough estimate, 315 more games. He was on staff dozens of times. Every game, even if I was set up to catch that game, I did not catch when Jerry Meals was behind the plate. Not one game. I repeated with every umpire. I never, ever had Jerry Meals behind the plate again.
Wow. So have you?
Well, I mean, the chances are absolutely zero. If you think about it, like if there's a day game, being a backup, I'm playing, somehow it would set up to where I'd play the night before. It was wild. I could never figure it out. Not saying there's conspiracy theory, but that is one of the weirdest like instances that I could think of in my career that I never had him again.
So
not
you've
one time.
You've never interacted with him then since that day?
I did.
Have
I
you
did.
Ever
Every
talked about
got, oh yeah, yeah. Every time I got a chance, I'd walk up to Vic, "Hey Jerry, how we doing?" I just kind of like give him a little love because it was fun. Cause I'd never mentioned the play because I just wanted it to stir a little, you know?
Yeah.
Like make him think about it. Cause he knew. He had to apologize to me. He'll never forget. And, you know, I always say he had an incredible game up until that point. And I think he just made a boneheaded moment. Like,
why did he miss it?
I have no idea. But we
How
have replay now. I don't know. Honestly, I was 17 feet up the line. See, every year I get a couple more feet further up the line. Eventually, I'm just going to be, I was on third base tagging him. So right. Just keep moving up.
All right, so. Michael. Well, thanks again for great stuff. I mean, it's great every week, and it's great listening to you and Steven break down the games. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. And, hey, we got to give our man O'Neill Cruz some love. That guy how good he is right now.
Oh yeah,
with what he's doing is remarkable. I know we're not playing well. Our offense is bad. Could you imagine if we were all swinging it good, what his numbers could be right now?
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. Like, what if he had like guys all like, what if this was, he was in a Dodger like lineup where he had protection on either side and people had to pitch to him at all times. You're right about that. He's incredible. I mean, so far. He really is.
He really is. I'm just looking at his Savant page right now and it's all red.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. So I appreciate you guys. I just wanted to throw some love out there because that guy is turning into a superstar and I don't want anybody to miss it.
Well deserved. We appreciate it, Michael.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys. God bless.
Limits, where were you in the Jerry Meals play happened?
Oh, man. I don't entirely remember.
Were you alive? How old were you?
Was I alive in 2011?
Yeah.
Yes, I was. I would have been 10 years old that summer.
I'll never forget that, man. Going on Twitter, like I told Michael, it was just starting to get popular and it just exploded that night. He's right about O'Neill Cruz, too. Can you imagine if this guy was protected in a lineup? Just imagine him for a moment with I don't know, Ohtani in front of him and Freddie Freeman or Betts behind him.
He'd probably hit 35, 40 home runs and drive in 100.
Nobody wants to pitch to him. And that's one of the reasons I respect what he's doing as far as plate discipline. He's like, all right, you want to pitch to me? I'll take 24 walks so far. One of the highest walk rates in baseball, according to Jeff Passan. And that's one of the reasons that Passan has him pegged as a $200 million guy when he hits free agency. And you and I talked about it briefly. We can take a couple calls here at 412-928-9370, 928-9370. If you're running the Pirates right now, do you extend a $100 million plus offer to O'Neill Cruz to keep him out of free agency for a year or two? I don't know that it would work, by the way. But the balance is always this. You're offering a guy security against him betting on himself and going to hit the jackpot. And I find it hard to blame a guy either way, honestly. You know, if Andrew McCutchen, he signed that later infamous six-year, $51 million deal, I think it was, way back when he was just sort of emerging, he became an MVP guy and probably cost himself over $100 million. But he guarded against injury. He guarded against lack of performance. He guarded against everything and made himself $50 million guaranteed. There's a lot to be said for that. It's a huge temptation. Like no matter what, especially if you're Cruz and you've already suffered a traumatic injury, you approach him with $150 million guaranteed. That's a career and that's generational wealth, right? He may believe and he might be right that he could go out at age 30 and make $300 million. He might be right. But I think there's a pretty good chance that he would take the security. I really do. There's other guys who I think might not. And I think that injury would play a role in it. Like a guy like Paul Skenes, I think is going to be, I'm betting on myself. Plus, he goes earlier. He goes to free agency at 27, did they say? Limits? Yeah, 27. Whereas Cruz would have to wait till 30. So I think if you approached O'Neill Cruz right now, that he would be very tempted by $100 million plus of security. He will have made his career with that. He will have achieved generational wealth.
I wonder just about what his agent would say. And if they would say, look, you know, this is a good deal for you, it's right to take it. Because timing is everything with this. And the fact that he's hitting so well and he's in the top of the major leagues, or at least in the top five, top 10 in a lot of different categories.
Yeah.
He might look at that and say, hey, I want to bet on myself, and I think that I can reach $200 million. I'm sure there's somebody in his ear telling him, hey, look at this Jeff Passan story. Top MLB insider thinks you can make $200 million
for sure.
At this point. Why would you take 110 from the Pirates?
Because you're guarding against another injury like the one you had. You're guarding against bad performance. You're guaranteeing that you having become a Major League Baseball player gives you and your family, your next generation and the generation after that and after that, money.
If I was
security,
if I was Cruz, I would use that pass and piece as a bargaining chip to get to right around 150, where you think that you might be worth. Like, say, hey, they think this is 200 million. I'm sure you could find other people that would think 200 million is a good number too, and try to get to that as leverage.
Well, even
to move the Pirates up if they're right around like 110 or something.
Well, even if you buy out a couple of years of free agency, he could still go to market at 32.
He could
have the best of both worlds. Bottom line is, I would be approaching him, and I think every situation's different, and I think he would be a guy who would be very, very open to $100 million plus to buy out a year or two of free agency. I do.
Well, because arbitration's coming. He's probably going to be...
Yeah, he's
going to
make a lot there, too.
Probably $7 million next year, maybe? $6-7 million That'll balloon up to around 14, and then probably 20, 22.
You got to be proactive. And last year, I think we can sort of, with the benefit of hindsight, say, listen, this guy was coming off that kind of injury and probably wasn't himself until a ways into the season. Still had an okay year, but we wanted to see if that superstar potential is still there, if you can actually see it on the field. And I would say this season, more than ever, you can project it as you watch him. I mean, there's no remnants left over of the injury. 14 steals. I mean, they rest him all the time, which is annoying. Not all the time, but you know what I mean. Limits. When he's off his feet and things like that, it's unbelievably annoying. But this is, I think this is now more projectable than ever. Nothing's a guarantee, but this is more projectable than ever that he's going to be a star. You know, a $100-200 million star. And at some point, you have to take some risks with the limited amount that you're spending anyway. They took a bad one with Key Brian Hayes, although hardly a franchise killer. I mean, $70 million, whatever. It's Major League Baseball. Plus, we're now, what, a third of the way into that contract or so? So this one would be more of a risk. Brian Reynolds was, I think, a guarantee. You know, he's not a star, but you're going to get good production every single year. That's a good contract. This guy has superstar potential, and I think you bet on it, and I think you make him that kind of offer. You?
I would do the same. And if you're talking number of years, 6-7 plus an additional club option, which they like to throw in on deals, which they did with Hayes and Reynolds, why not? If Cruz is willing to find middle ground with them on a contract, I would definitely start negotiations even mid-season now.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.